expose people, you know, people exposed to the Bible, so I'm thinking words like discipline sounds bad. And so I had to use habit. Well, that's what this is, if that helps you. It's habits of a disciple. A disciple is one who learns to do things. Mm-hmm. Teaching them to observe. Oh, you didn't get notes? I'm sorry. I thought you said, thanks, Judy, and I misunderstood you. She was probably sharing her crackers with you or something. Sorry. I'm good. Thank you for speaking up, because I would feel awful if you didn't have them. They're in class. So. Now, Ted, it doesn't really matter because he just looks for the open space in colors. These are disciplines. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. These are things that we do. Okay, to be like Jesus, this is what we do. And that's what we're intended. God, again, did not save us to put us out on our own. He saved us to make us His own once again. And anyone that thinks they're their own boss is deceived, because they're either serving the devil or they're serving the Savior. But that's your two choices. If you're serving yourself, you're working right into the hands of the devil. If you're serving God, it's not easy. But that's what God intended, and you ultimately see many benefits in this life and also eternity, as we've spoken before, the rewards and all of that. We've gone through Bible immersion, continuous prayer, yielding to authority. The last one was generous giving, and now this one is committed gathering, and this is huge. It's something that hit me while I was first pastoring. I've shared that a little bit already. But discipline number 5, committed gathering. And here's my summary statement. Because I am part of the body, I faithfully gather with the local body in accordance with God's design to be grown and to help the body to grow. Okay? Maybe I'll refine that, but that's the best I could do in a sentence right now. The first half of your sheet here answers the question, two churches? And the Bible talks about the church in two ways. I believe the word for church is used over 100 times. I don't remember the exact number. It's 4 pages long of all the verses. And you can go through and categorize them. Some of them are used generically, but mostly not. The word ecclesia is the church. In fact, it's a lot like the Spanish word for church, iglesia, or something like that. It's similar to that. But it's the assembly, the gathering, or whatever. But the Bible talks about it in two ways. The first one, Josh, can you run and get my markers real quick? I left them in there. The first one, you can write this down, is the universal church. The universal church. This is not the universalist church. That's a group of people that believe that everyone is saved just because, and everyone's going to heaven, and there's no place like hell, and if there was, no one's going there. This is just the universal church. Uni meaning one. Okay, that's what you have to remember. The universal church. And you kind of have to understand this, because people confuse this and they live it out. It adversely affects the local body of believers because people misunderstand the universal church and how that is different from the second one. And I'll give you the second one too. The second one is the local church. Then we'll talk about them both, okay? We'll get into more detail, especially about the local church, but we have to differentiate the two. Now back up to the universal church. Notice what I've written down here. It's the church. What does that seem to indicate? Yeah, there's only one. Okay? The church. The one universal assembly. Cross the word church out in that definition there, because that's assembly and church are saying the same thing. That's redundant. the one universal assembly that is composed of all believers of the church age. So not only is it all the believers that exist and alive today on the earth right now, but the universal church, when did the church start? At Pentecost. So when Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and I'll send the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Pentecost was a feast, a Jewish feast, and it's interesting, we've said before, how much God works within the calendar of the feast. Jesus was crucified when? On Passover, okay? So they kind of follow along. But that was the beginning of the church. I won't argue that, why we understand it now, but maybe we can get into that sometime. But it goes all the way until the rapture. And normally the rapture is shown as there's arrows going up, and then Jesus meets us in the air. So it usually looks like this if you're going to symbolize it, okay? In fact, here's Ethan right here. You can see he's waving. He can't really see it, but he's waving. So anyway, it's pretty good, Ethan. Yeah, twinkling of an eye. Okay? So that's, and we're talking about believers. We're not talking about unbelievers. The church is believers. We believe that the church is believers during this time. Now, the question that comes up, that we're not going to try and exhaust all this, you know, explain all the details, but what about believers before and after, and they're in a different group? They're still saved, but they're not part of the church, the body of Christ. Moses, Elijah, Joshua, all those, okay? And then those saved during the tribulation period, millennial period, okay? Different group, okay? They're not second class, but there is some privileges here with this group. Not because you or I deserve them, but because we're part of the body of Christ, there's privileges there. But that's the church. So, there's people that have died, and potentially, depending on when the Lord's coming back, that maybe not have been born yet. So, you know, you have to go through the entire group. When they're saved, they become part of that church as well. So that's the universal church. So the universal church has never met together as of yet, right? Does that make sense? Because you've never been around when Paul was here and you know, and people are born and die every day. So let me read now underneath it. The church, the one universal assembly that is composed of all believers of the church age. The church is the body of Christ. When we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about the church. Okay? It's sometimes referred to as the bride of Christ. I'm not going to argue either way. Some people call it that. Some people not. It doesn't necessarily come out and say that. But some people refer to the church as the bride of Christ as well. Excuse me. The body is this body, the universal church, has never met together and does not function as a unit. The church does not function as a unit. They don't meet. They don't hold. You know, they don't have leaders. You know, there's no structure at all. Okay, in the church. I told you this before, and I just want to throw it out. It's not. It's more of a detail, not something you have to remember. But another word for universal is general. That's a terrible one, but that's okay. Terrible in the sense that it's not writing very darkly. But also, in the early creeds, the universal church uses, this is another word for the same thing, Catholic. So general or Catholic, and we're not talking Roman Catholic. We're using this in a generic sense. It means general, universal. It comes from a Greek word meaning by the whole, all together. Okay, it's I didn't know that till last night. And I'm like, where did Catholic come from? I start looking up, Greek, seriously? So I go back and look at my Greek, and it's like, oh, wow. So Catholic, it's
comes from kata, which is down or against or by, and then alas, which I think we get the word whole from. So it's by the whole, it's as a group, as a unit. Okay? So, interesting. Yes. Yes. True believers, you know, not people that say they are but aren't or whatever. Including ones that are dead, but as we understand it, people that are dead aren't dead. Right? So absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? So their body is dead, but their spirit continues to live and they're in the presence of the Lord. So, you know, the Bible talks about those who have fallen asleep, right? That's a metaphorical way of looking at it, because the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about those that believe in Jesus will God bring with Him. You know, they're with Him already. They come back and we don't fully understand it. Ask me a minute after the rapture, I'll have a lot more insight. But they get their new body then. So they seem to have some kind of body now. But it's not really enough that God gives us. It's not like He wants us to care about it. Because don't worry about it. Because He doesn't tell you enough and you're going to have a glorified body. What do you have in the meantime? Your spirit is with the Lord. Do you have some kind of body? 1 Corinthians 15 seems to hint at that. But it's not. To me, it's like almost discussing how many angels fit on the head of a pin. It's like you don't have enough, so then it's conjecture and you spend a lot of time with things you can't prove anything about, you know. So, unless they've got new information in faith. I don't know. I'm not being facetious. Sometimes people discover, oh, here's the magic word or something. Probably not. So people have looked at it for years. So, but the universal church, all believers from the time of Pentecost to the rapture, those before and after, different relationship, okay? So these are a special group that actually rule with Christ. Different than these or these. Okay? But that's the universal church. Notice here, there's a whole bunch of verses. I just put three, but notice Matthew 16, 18, right there below that little paragraph. Jesus is talking. This is the first time the concept of the church is ever mentioned in all of the Bible. The church is not hinted at in the Old Testament. Okay? Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I," what's the next word? Circle will, because doesn't that indicate past, present, or future? Yeah, it hasn't started then. Okay, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Hades is a Greek word that's transliterated. Makes more sense than the word hell. It's a temporary place. There's a lake of fire also that Hades is cast into at the end. So it kind of helps clarify things. 1 Corinthians, and it's talking about, "On this rock I will build my church." Not churches, church. It's singular. Get it? Okay, so it's one church. Jesus, you're only having one church. Which one of us is it? You know, oh, wait a sec. Well, He's talking about this one. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have all been made to drink into one Spirit." We're all connected because we're all part of the body of Christ, because the Spirit places us into the body of Christ. We've used the illustration before. I'm a gingerbread man. This is very sick gingerbread man. This is Christ. When you are saved, it's not something you're aware of, but when you believe, God places you through the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. We become part of Christ, and therefore what is true of Christ is true of us. And it's one body. We're the part of the body of Christ. And that's why it says when Christ died, we died with Him. Why? Because we're part of Christ now, and what's true of Christ is true of us. His righteousness counts for us because we're part of that body. Okay? It's not
super hard to understand, but it's very, very clear. We've been baptized into one body. We've been immersed into that body. And now we're part of the body. Okay? Ephesians 5:23, "For as the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church." Yeah, not the churches, but the church. So it's talking about the church. Okay? That's the universal church, the Catholic church, the general church. And again, we say Catholic with a small c. And I just want you to be aware of that, because sooner or later you'll come across the Apostles' Creed and it's like, 8300, I believe in the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church. And it's like, am I supposed to be talking to the Pope somehow? No. It has nothing to do with that. It's just another name for universal. Okay. The next one now is the local church. The top one says the church. This is a church. Okay? Any group of believers, this is what a local church is, and it's right there in your notes. Any group of believers gathering together in a specific geographical area, and you might even say in a specific time, right? Because you're in the same area that somebody was here 100 years ago, but they're no longer here. Right? So it's a space and time kind of situation. There's geography and time. But in a geographical area, and functioning, they're not just meeting, but they're functioning as a Bible-defined local church. It's not how they define it. Just because you say, I'm a church, doesn't make you a church. The Bible defines what a church is. The Bible defines what a church does. It is possible for a local church to have unbelievers as members. And we're only saying that on paper, if you will. Because you can join an institution and not be for real. Fair? That's all we're saying. Can you be saved? If you're saved, you're part of this, and you should be part of this. If you're not saved, you can join as many of these as you want, but you aren't in here. Does that make sense? It's not. It's just your name's on a piece of paper. So that's all we're saying there. They're not truly members of the church if they're not saved, even though they can, you know, be part of a church. And maybe some of us were that way, you know. You know, I attended a church and without, you know, growing up, and I was part of that church, but I wasn't really saved till I was, you know, 7. Okay, so let me keep reading here. The verses are there. I have them quoted, so I'll just keep going. A biblical church, as part of the Bible definition, has qualified leaders. That's the first part. And works together as a local body as defined by God. Again, a church is a church only when it's doing what God wants. It requires people to be saved, to be truly doing the church. They're not part of the body unless they're saved, right? But then they're doing what God wants the way God wants it done. That's what a church is. But it's a defined group of people in one place. And they function together as a unit. When people confuse these two, and we've seen that a lot in our day, they confuse these two. Like, it doesn't matter where you go, as long as you go somewhere. We're going to talk about that on the back side. Here's some passages now. The second place that Jesus ever brings up the church, the first one is Matthew 16. He talks about, I will build my church. Matthew 18, he's talking about the local church. And you tell me if you can grab why it has to be the local church. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." What Why would I say this is a local church as opposed to the universal church? Yeah, how do you gather them together? How do you tell them?
There's no way you can handle the world.
But I'm saying, and Jesus spoke when there wasn't any such type of communication. You could use smoke signals or whatever. There's no way you could do that. It has to be the local church. And even then, how do you treat them as a, how does it say it, a heathen and a tax collector? One of the parallel passages says something like a publican and a sinner, not a republican, though we're getting there. You know, they're kind of the same. But anyway, that was supposed to be a joke, but not so much. Everyone's like, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, it isn't funny. Yeah, it's right. So anyway, they tell it to the church, if they don't listen, what's the church supposed to do? You stop treating them like a believer by how you relate to them. The Bible tells you that elsewhere. If a person is a immoral person or a divisive person, or even the Bible uses the term a scornful critic, we're not even to eat dinner with them. Not because we hate them, but because we love God. And we can't treat people like sin means nothing when God is holy. So we have to choose God, and it's for their benefit. They did it in Corinthians, where a man, you know, it wasn't even mentioned among the heathen, that a man would have his father's wife. And they said, have nothing to do with him, and he repented. That was the point. It's not punitive. It's not trying to make them hurt more. It's helping them to understand what they're doing is wrong and helping reclaim them, okay? The goal is restoration. But that's what we're commanded. Galatians 1:2, all the brethren who are with me to the, what? Churches of Galatia. So all the Galatians, think of it as, oh, I don't know, a state maybe. And, the, you know, there's different churches in the state. So it's like, okay, you know, you have churches in Des Moines and Ankeny and, you know, Cedar Rapids and Coon Rapids. Is that in Iowa? I think it is. You know, all the Shell Rock. Shell Rock. Yeah, Shell Rock. Wow. Okay. All these places. There's churches, okay? Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So now there's, you know, and then it goes on to list them, and I listed one to the angel. What's the word angel mean? Messenger. So don't get caught up in this, you know, what's the guy that wrote all the spiritual warfare? Frank Peretti stuff. I got to listen to him speak one time. He wouldn't believe all the weird phone calls he got after he wrote his fiction books. But he said, folks, they're fiction! Anyway, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write. The church is at a specific location. He's talking to a specific group of people. Okay? Universal church. What's the universal church? From specific time period, okay? What's the local church? Us. That's good. Yeah, specific group of people, specific time that are functioning as a local body. You know, there's probably people bowling today. They're not a church. They're not intending to be a church. They're bowling. Okay? So it's intent, it's following what God wants, including the leadership structure, the truth is guided by the Word of God. All right? Questions or comments so far? No, that would be the local church then, the churches. The universal church is never plural because it's one assembly. Yeah. Let me write this. I'm going to write it in Greek just because you can see the difference. But it's E-K-K-L. This is a long
A sound, basically, or E, depending on who you talk to. Ecclesia, okay? And then we usually change the C's to that. Spanish is this, Iglesia, it's similar. But it comes from two Greek words. Don't read too much into it, but it's ek, exit, okay, out, okay, and klesia is called. It comes from the Greek word kaleo, which is to call. So think of it just in a general sense. Some people try to make a big deal out of it, but it's just, it's a called out group, okay? And a lot of people try to build a lot into call or whatever, but it's used in a generic sense, even in the Bible at times. It's an assembly. Hey, if for any reason, you gather a group of people. Well, this one happens to be my church. Okay, so it's a specific group. It's Jesus' assembly, and that's what this means. It means that I like the word assembly. In fact, when the King James Bible was written, the conservatives did not like the King James Bible because they used the word church. That was one of the many things that they didn't like about it. They liked the Geneva Bible because it focused on the Roman Catholic. You know, it smacked of that rather than the people. They were looking at the hierarchy, even though that doesn't mean that, but it kind of implied that. Okay, so I like the word assembly because also, too, assembly focuses on what the church truly is. Flip your page over. We'll keep on that theme. What is the church? Well, let's start with what the church is not. Okay? Let me find a place to write. You got this, right? Assembly. What's the church? It's an assembly. You know, and they're called out for different reasons, okay? What the church is not. Number one, the church is not a place. We talk, our culture, the church is a place. In every way, shape, or form. Come on, get ready for church. We have to go to, in every way. And then when I say the word church, what do you usually think of? Yeah, building or something. And it's not a place. Okay? Notice here, right into it. Biblically speaking, let's go to church is erroneous and leads to false ideas. What would be a false idea there? Yeah. Right. And people do. If I've gone to that building, that place, I have done what I'm supposed to do. Because if the church is a place, a building, then all I have to do is visit that place. Thus, church involves more than just going somewhere. I underline that. Okay? All right? It's not, in and of itself, going somewhere. That's a wrong idea. Where do you want to go to church this Sunday? That's a quote I put in there. Misses the biblical teaching of what a church is and does. It's a complete missing of the target. Because it misunderstands what the church is and misunderstands what the church does. In the same idea, a church building is not, quote, God's, what? House. Or a modern-day Old Testament temple. Now, we've used that a lot over the years. We're in God's house. Don't run in God's house. Right? How many times did I hear that growing up? I was not only told, I was reinforced at times. Is this God's house? Does that give you the wrong idea? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, down in Georgia. I hear a knock at my door. I'm a soldier. I live about a block and a half from my church. Right? Church building. There's a drunk man at the door of my house. I happen to know him. I'd met him. I had been in the military with his son. He had just found out that his son had drowned. Okay, he was not a religious person, but at this night he was wondering why the church doors were locked. Because he wanted to talk to God. He had the thought that God can be found in a building. What's wrong with that idea? That is totally wrong. Let me ask you this. Does God have a temple today? Think carefully before you answer. Yes. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a building. It is the body. You are a living temple. Where do you have to go to pray to God? From what I understand, if you're saved, you have God, the Holy Spirit, living within you. You don't have to pray anywhere. You don't need, people think, I feel like I'm not getting through this healing. You don't have to. God abides within you, and anything between the Holy Spirit and God the Father, He can handle that connection. Right? The church is not a place. It's not a temple. It's not the building, okay? Number two, the church is not, this one's maybe not as familiar, a time. Okay? This one might be a little bit of a stretch, but let's do church at 11. Do church at 11. And I attend 11 a.m. church. I'm just throwing out times. They talk about church is a time. You know, there's 11 o'clock church and there's 9 o'clock church. And what church do you go to? I go to the 9 o'clock church. Okay? They're not concepts on the Bible. The church involves more than just going to a service sometime. And I underline the word sometime. Okay? And I'm not talking about frequency. I'm talking about some people think, oh, I did church because I went at this time. I did the church thing. Okay? So, it's kind of like Baptist Mass. You know, as long as I go somewhere, I did it. I did that for the week. I'm done. And it's like the Bible does not approach church that way. It completely misses what church is and what church does. What do we say church is? Yeah, the assembly, right? Hang on to that thought, because we won't fully develop it today, but we'll get there. This one's similar. The church is not a service. This is a time, a service. You might blend those together. Let's go to church at... I had a professor that used to use the Last Baptist of Skunk Hollow. You know, I said, no one ever names the church Last Baptist. You know, no, it's First Baptist, Second Baptist. You know, it's like, it's almost anticipating a church split. You know, we're first. We were here first. Anyway, but Last Baptist of Skunk Hollow. But I did hear one time of a Hanging Dog Baptist Church in Colorado. It's like, really? I don't even want to hear the history behind that one. Hanging Dog Baptist. But anyway, let's go to church at blank church this Sunday, or let's have church at home this Sunday. Okay? What does the word church mean? Okay. You can't assemble by not assembling. That's like going swimming without getting wet. Okay? The church assumes you're getting together with other people. You cannot have church in your home. You can have a church in your home, assembly in your home, but if it's just you, it's really not church for most places, unless it's the only believers anywhere. Which that's usually not the case. Okay? As you can tell, I'm probably not a big proponent of the home church movement, not because you can't have churches in the home, but because most people do it because they don't have to put up with people that are assembling. Which, again, misses the point of what the church is and what the church does. Okay? Attending a service does not constitute church in light of the Bible. I would say a good number, a great number, a huge number of Baptists think church is attending a service. It misses the point of what the Bible says the church is and what the church does. And that's why we're on this committed gathering. Number four, this one I've been experienced with, at least to a great degree, the church is not a list. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know about other denominations, but Baptists are goofed up with this. Now, Northridge, we've kind of changed some things, but they have the... Okay, think out loud with me. Baptists, you go to most Baptist churches, and they have an active membership list, and they also have an... That's like having active wheels on your car and inactive wheels on your car. And I'm like thinking, you know, one may be called a spare, but anymore they make it so it's so embarrassing you don't want to drive it more than you have to. But I mean, it's like an inactive member is like saying dry water or military intelligence or... You know, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't go. It misses the point. You cannot be an inactive member. And I've been in places where membership meant everything, but involvement meant nothing. They had their name on the list, so they had the right to vote, but the people that came and did everything couldn't vote because they weren't members. Something is askew. I don't believe in inactive members. There's no such thing. And we could wrestle with this another time, but the whole membership concept is somewhat vague in Scripture. We'll get into that more. But the whole idea is, I think I threw it out a couple weeks ago, maybe even from the pulpit out there. But the whole idea is, the Bible seems to indicate that if you are saved, you already are a member of the body, and so you are obligated to be a member of a body. It's not a choice. You're just living out your obligation. It's not something you choose. I don't think I'm going to join a church. Well, good. It's about time. You know, you're active. You know, it's that idea. And to me, the membership list is not nearly as important as the activity list, the involvement factor. Okay? I'm a member at blank church, but I don't attend very often. It's not a biblical view. It misses the point of what a church is. I was going to ask you to sing along there, Loretta, but... Again, it says I'm a member at, you know, it's like you go knock on doors. It's like, yeah, you know, hi. Oh, we're members at, honey, what is that church? You know, that we're members of. It's like, how often do you go? It's like, oh, all the time. Yes. Who's the pastor's name? Honey, what's he? It's like they're missing the point. They're thinking somehow that if they got their name on a membership list, something, they're in that maybe? It doesn't count, you know. That isn't what gets you to heaven. But it's not merely a list, but active participation in a group of people as structured and designed by God. Even Matthew 18. What do? Run away when you have difficulties? What's the Bible say? The second thing that Jesus ever said about the church is how to deal with relationships. Right? The issue is to fix them, not leave them, fix them. That's God's approach to the local church. Why do we have so many churches? Because people leave rather than fix, which is very hard on a body. Let's just rip that thing off. That would be bad surgery, wouldn't it? We got three arms and a leg over here. We got a head and, you know, two eyeballs over here, you know, four eyeballs or whatever. It just doesn't. And that's what the state of the church is in. What the church is. I'm going to just throw these out real quick. We'll come back to them next week. But so you can fill it out, we'll come out next week with some of this so you have it. Acts 2, 40 to 42. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. "And those who gladly received his word were baptized." We believe in believers' baptism. "And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and fellowship. They cared for one another, and in the breaking of bread," it could either be communion or even meals together, sharing their food, "and in prayers." We looked at Ephesians 4. That's in your notes from this morning. We don't have time to look at it now, but let's look at these five real quick. What the church is. Number one, a specific assembly committed to, and I'm just going to write the words, one another. We're going to spend at least one day on the one another's. A local assembly is defined by God as a church committed to caring for one another. You are not here, and let me underline this, you are not here for yourself, or you are missing the point of the church. You don't come when you want to, or you're missing the point of the church. You come because other people need you. We'll talk about that as we get to it. Number two, you're led by God-appointed, God-approved leaders. So much deviation there. As the leadership goes, so goes the church. And a lot of times it's controlled by an official or an unofficial hierarchy, a lot of times in associations, conventions, and all of that. A lot of the places have fallen because they follow the path of the implied or expressed leadership. A church is proclaiming the gospel to unsaved. Go and make disciples. That's what a church does. It's not. It may involve a basketball team. But if a church exists to be a social functioning center without doing this in the midst of basketball, the basketball loses its point. That's my point. It's not a social gathering, though there's social things going on, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to evangelize and to disciple. Number four, pursuing the training of believers to full maturity in service. Just like what we talked about out there, the maturity factor. And then number five, perpetuating leadership to the next generation. Paul said to Timothy, "The same things I've committed to you, the same to commit thou to faithful men that will be able to teach others also." It's not assigned to everybody, but it's a leadership structure. We need to be involved. I believe the local church has been assigned the leadership training responsibility. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it gives anybody else, any institutions, anything like that. That is all part of it, and it actually works to help the church if you train that way. That's what a church is in a nutshell. You could say more. Some people say that practice the ordinances, we baptize them. To me, that's part of what's already in there. Okay? That's what a church is. And if the church isn't doing this, if people don't approach the church as this, then it's not the church, it's a consumer entity. I join because I like this at the church. I like their music program. I like whatever. I like their building. You know? I like the way they mow their lawn. Whatever, you know? I like the pastor's baritone voice. That's good. I knew a pastor one time that they chose him because his wife played the piano real well. That's great. You know, that'll move you on. And playing piano is good, but that isn't how you choose your leader. Oh, do I have one more?
Yeah.
It's not on my sheet. Preserving the truth, yeah. I think I added to yours after I did my notes or something. Or I have two copies, and that's why. Because here's number six. I'm there. So preserving the truth in face of falsehood.
They're there to hold to the standard of the truth. They're not there to create new truth. They're there to hold to what the Word of God says. So, in a nutshell, that's where we're going. We got a lot to talk about, but we're trying not to spend too much time on any given thing. So, let's pray. Lord, bless our study. Help us to grow up in this area. Lord, each of us start out as children. We each need to be taught about everything, and that takes our entire life. And then we pray that you just continue to teach us and grow us in this discipline as well, with committed gathering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.